Hi, my name's Dave McIntosh and I host an 80s music show on Hospital Radio Medway. And just recently I invited a good friend of mine, Richard Fletcher, onto the show to chat to me about his battle with cancer over the last 2 or 3 years. During our chat, Richard talks me through everything, right from the very beginning, when he realised at home something wasn't quite right, all the way through to where he's got to in the present day. And Richard also talks me through the superb support available through the NHS and Macmillan Cancer Support. So here it is, coming right up. It's now time to have a chat with my guest on the show this evening. Richard Fletcher, otherwise known as Fletch to his mates, is a good friend of mine and is sat next to me here in the studio. Hi, Fletch.
Hi, Dave.
Now, you're here to talk about your journey, having been through a tough time recently over the last few years with cancer. And so thank you very much, first of all, for coming in this evening. Can we start right at the very beginning then, if you don't mind? What made you realise something wasn't quite right, and what did you go and do about it?
So, yeah, it was back in July 2023, normal day, and then I had my shower and just felt a lump on the right side of my throat. Thought it was one of my glands, as we do, and you know, as your mum used to tell us, if your glands are up, you're likely to get a sore throat, you're going to be ill. So didn't think no more of it, carried on, left it for probably 2 or 3 weeks before saying to D, you know, it's still got this lump. And then obviously D recommended, said that go see your GP. So I tried to make an appointment, which, you know, was hard in these days, as we all know, but was able to get in and see my GP, who carried out a couple of checks that they do there, and then referred me for an ultrasound. And then promptly left. It was an 8-week referral at the time. I went home, carried on my daily work, and carried on with everything. And then the weekend came of the seeing the GP, and I woke up, must have been about 1-2 o'clock in the morning, constantly swallowing, which I thought was saliva or liquid. Got up, went to the toilet, and then obviously realised that there was blood in my mouth, and it was clean, pure blood just pouring out. So unfortunately I did the usual guy mentality, I won't wake the wife, I'll deal with that in the morning, that'll be all right, I can sort that out. So I went back to bed, it eased off a little bit, and then promptly woke up at about 4:30, 5 in the morning, again, really, really bleeding, and coughed, and obviously D woke up, see it, and that was it. It was off to Mason Hospital. They were fantastic, dealt with me in and out. But what that was able to do was escalate me in the process, because I'd had this big bleed now. That went back to my GP. The referral time then dropped from sort of 8 weeks down to probably 2 weeks to a week, to which I received a call from the hospital to say, can I come in and see the doctor over there, the ear, nose and throat. Put a scope camera up through the top of my nose, down into my throat area to have a look. And then promptly the process was just really quick. I came out of seeing the doctor to receiving a call in the car, can I attend next week for an MRI scan? So I said, yep, by all means. So went in the following Saturday for an MRI, came out from MRI, received a call the same day back in the car. Can I attend on, I think it was the Tuesday or the Monday, for a CT scan? Yeah, by all means. Had the CT scan, and then came out from that and received another call. We need you to come back in for an MRI and biopsy. So it just escalated between sort of August through August into sort of, yeah, basically the whole of August was taken up with just constant appointments.
So lots of tests, but really quick in terms
absolutely.
They move really quickly.
The
for
one
you.
Thing I can't fault, Dave, is how the NHS, or certainly the oncology departments around, reacted and treated me, and had me in for appointment, had me in for check-in and everything. So it was just one after the other. We just, you know, we'd sat in the car and we just looked at each other and thought, we can't believe we're getting these calls all the time to come in so quickly, and on a Saturday. It's normally Monday, Friday. These were calls for Saturday. So eventually I went to my last appointment, which was the MRI with a biopsy. And basically, we sat there. It was two, three days just before the Great North Run, which was the 6th of September.
Yep.
So I was due to run it. Little bit funny story with it is I had the biopsy taken, and we said to the consultant then, look, you know, we've had all these tests going on. We need to know, or I need to know mentally for myself what's going on. This just didn't feel right. And he was open and honest and said, look, I can tell you there's two things it possibly could be. And that's one, it could be an infection. He said, and I looked at him and I went, well, I know it's not infection because I've had all my blood tests done and there's no infection. He said, then a person of your age, we're probably looking at throat cancer. Wow. And that was the first time I heard the words. And literally my next response was, can I run the Great North Run on Sunday? and because I'd built myself up for this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got the most evil look from Dave at me and kicked. But he said, yeah, by all means, just live your life. He said, obviously, take it easy, listen to your body, which is what I did. But that was 6th of September was the first time I'd heard the words.
Yeah.
Went off and run the Great North Run. And then basically came back to an appointment on the 12th of September, where I was formally confirmed as stage 4 throat cancer. I've got a 4-centimetre tumour on the base of my tongue, or had at the time. And it had gone into one of my lymph nodes in my throat, which was the one that was swollen.
Yeah. Wow. And look. I mean, that first off, Fletch, that's really good of you to talk about that, because I know it's not easy to talk about this sort of stuff. I can see it, I can hear it in your voice. Fletch, we got to the diagnosis.
Yep.
And that all happened really quickly. Sounds like massively. August, beginning of December. Done the Great North Run. What happened next?
So process after that was lots of consultations. A feeding tube was inserted as well, because the likelihood is I would struggle to swallow and certainly eat food because of the treatment that I was going to be receiving. So that was inserted. And then on the 6th of November, I received my first dose of chemotherapy, of chemo. It was a full day, along with the radiotherapy. So I had in total 35 sessions of radiotherapy.
Yep.
So it was one every single day apart from Saturday and Sunday. So the nice NHS people gave you the weekend off, which was nice of them. But obviously you just didn't want to do anything. It was so draining. Mm. And then I had three chemo, one at the start, one at the end, and one in the middle, through the treatment. And it was horrifying, I won't lie. It was not just horrifying for me, it was horrifying for Dee. You know, she literally had to care for me. She was feeding me to keep me alive. There were some dark times, I won't lie, really, really bad dark times in regards to me personally, in reacting to the whole thing. I just didn't want to, there was one day I just did not want to continue. Mm. And it, you know, escalated that, you know, Dee was doing her bit to try and keep me alive, and I'm just pushing her away, because I just didn't want to do it anymore. Mm. You know, and bless her, she was keeping a front in front of me, but outside the door and outside the bedroom, she was having her cry and dealing with it her way. So without her, I wouldn't be sat here potentially, couldn't be.
Yeah.
So it's a massive process that you go through as a person. You know, I lost over 4 stone in weight. Mm-hmm. It just fell off of me. But the one key thing through it all was the support that I got from friends, family, and Macmillan. You know, and it's not just a shameful plug or push.
I know,
because they were immense. You know, we had a lovely lady called Ruth, who literally didn't speak to me. She spoke to Dee. She was always finding how Dee was. You know, because for me, I was just turning up, having the treatment, going home, going to bed. You know, Dee was running around doing everything. So, but they do a fantastic job. You know, they really do. They were there every single day, checking up on us, finding out we're okay. But it was a long slog, very, very long slog, and very demanding just on me mentally, and also my family as well. You know, my family support from the kids, from Dee, you know, from the four boys and their wives, you know, my mum, my sister, everybody, you know, friends, family, even like yourself, our golf buddies as well, you know, just the messages I got of support was it was great, you know. And I used to have just a quick one, I had one one guy who would ring me every Friday at 3 o'clock, and it would be 3 o'clock on the dot, Dave. Mm. It wasn't 2:59, it wasn't 3:01. Yeah. And it was my big mate, Toby, and all he just answer the phone and just, all right, and I'd be like, yeah, good, and then hang up. That's all it needed. Yeah. But that's what got me through it, my friends and family.
Okay, and it's interesting, the Macmillan's piece running alongside the NHS you talked about. Could you have coped without the Macmillan support?
Probably not, no. To be fair. Okay. Honestly, they were incredible, because they're there for your other halves or your partner as such. You know, they focus on them, because I've got enough to think about going through the treatment, my own things. But they are there for us. Please don't think that Macmillan aren't there for the patient as well. They are. Yeah. I had counselling afterwards and they were fantastic. And Dee has as well. But they do a remarkable job in what they do. And some of the patients that they see and have to deal with as well. You know, we all go through it and go through our lows, so we can be down, we can be grumpy, we can be, you know, there was several incidents for me that, you know, I came across that they just come in as a calming factor for you.
Yeah.
And just give you that reassuring support that they are there and you can get through this.
Yeah.
You know, and there was dark days for me, you know, turning up and I just didn't want to, but they're there and they go, just trust the process. Trust the process.
And how good were the NHS during all of this?
Again, what can I say? You know, we see all these things on the news and everything about the NHS, but my personal experience and my own personal, the hospital that treated me, I could not afford them, the oncology unit. They were absolutely incredible. You went in there and everybody smiles at you. You're at your lowest and they are looking at you, smiling you, making you feel happy and making you feel reassured. That's the key. They make you feel reassured that you are going to walk out of here. Fingers crossed at the end of it, treated, you know, and cured. You know, my cancer is treatable, not curable. So it's always going to, I'm always going to have it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's ongoing tests up until sort of like even now, I'm still ongoing tests. But it's trust the NHS, you know, it's hard, I know, but they do a remarkable job. I'm not going to go down a political line and whatever, finances and whatever, but they do an incredible job at all the hospitals, you know, not just the hospital that treated me, everybody. And I'm sure they do a fantastic, and they do a fantastic job here at Medway as well, because the cancer unit, the oncology unit here, is linked to my one in Maidstone.
Yeah.
So it's under the same remit, and they are incredible.
Well, I can back you up on that, because my mum is going through something similar now, and Macmillan and the NHS have been absolutely brilliant. So, Fletch, just to finish off then, I've got three questions, if I may.
Yep.
Number one, where are you today in your journey? Number two, what have you learnt during this journey? And number three, and probably a really important one, is any advice you'd give to anyone who's listening in. So where are you today in your journey?
So where am I today in your journey? So basically, I am in remission still. I have ongoing 6 weekly checks. I've recently just had a biopsy taken on the left side of my throat because they thought that it had spread most recently, and I had the results back of that a couple of days ago, and that's come back as non-cancerous. So it's a massive relief, that one, because I've had the last three, you know, and D as well, the last 3-4 weeks of just worry that it's come back. So that's come back as non-cancerous. There's still some abnormal cells, so I've got to have another PET scan. But that's where I'm at the moment. I'm out playing golf, as back running.
Well or not?
No, it's not going too well, I won't lie. Fair enough, but I'm blaming the clubs. Okay. I might have to get new clubs. I'm back running. I enjoy my running. I love my running. You know, I'm off this weekend to run the Great North Run for the charity. A couple of swim coming up and some more running. So I'm there. And then, what was your other one?
Right, so what have you learnt?
What have I learnt? Don't smoke.
Yeah.
You know, I did it when I was younger. That's obviously a big no-no as such. It's trust the process. Trust. You've got to put trust in the people that specialise in your cancer. You know, it's all very well to say, oh, I'm going to do this. And I did, you know, I broke virtually every rule they gave me. You mm-hmm. know, I went straight back to work as quick as I could after, during treatment, and it just wiped me out.
Yeah.
It just annihilated me. And they were right. You know, I should have rested. I should have done this. If you listen and do what they say, you'll get through it.
Yeah.
You really will. And, you know, and I've said it to a few people that I know that are going through cancer treatment as well. Trust the process and do what they say. But the key element is rest. If you're going through cancer treatment now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The chemo will wipe you out. The treatment will wipe you out. But rest. The rest is what helps you and fights the cancer as such. Yeah. By doing something active and doing something that you shouldn't be doing, you're just going to ruin what the good work that these lovely nurses and doctors are doing to you. Right. So yeah, trust Brilliant. The process.
Brilliant. And look, is there any advice, if you could give one bit of advice to anyone who's listening in?
My advice and about? I'll give it to everyone is check yourself over. Mm-hmm. If something doesn't feel right, go and get it checked. I know there's waiting lists, I know there's a wait to see a GP or whatever, but the most important thing is you know your body. I don't know your body. The doctor doesn't know your body. The nurses don't. You know your own body, and you know if there's something not right. And if there's something not right, go to your doctor. Stay at doctors if you have to. You know, we've all paid our contributions. We're entitled to our health care. All right? It's one of the best in the world that we have here, and it's free for us. Mm. Okay? Go and see your GP and get the answers you want. If you're still not happy, ask to be referred. Ask for a blood test.
Mm.
You know, something doesn't feel right to your body, you know, and if you've got any form of lump, please get it checked. It could be fatty tissue. It could be non-cancerous. You know, I'm not going to scare people, but go and get it checked. I thought mine was non-cancerous. It turns out it wasn't. And look where I am now. I'm sat here talking to you,
yeah,
you know, and telling people to go and get checked.
I think that's brilliant advice, and that's a great note to end things on. Fletch, thank you very, very much for coming in. It's really good of you to come in, give your time, share stuff, because I know it's not easy sharing some of this stuff.
I hope you found that chat interesting, and I wanted to go on record to say thank you to Richard for chatting to me on the show. I know it's not easy to talk about some of those things, so thank you, Richard, for doing that. And if you've been affected by cancer in any way, whether it's you, yourself, or a relative, then you can find Macmillan support online at macmillan.org.uk.
To listen to more episodes or find links to all of our programmes and videos, visit hospitalradiomedway.co.uk. You've been listening to Chatterbox.